pals o' mine. When I was in junior high, my parents built a home on a vacant lot at the end of a short dead-end street at the backside of a nature park. There was a house literally at the end and the vacant lot on the right. The vacant lot was used as a shortcut by equestrians in the area, and they were not happy that a home was being built on it. Vandals knocked out fireplace bricks a couple of times. You may have heard in the news about the Wyoming Family Trust, who recently won a Supreme Court case involving a bicycle trail on its property. The trail follows the line of the old railroad tracks and is very popular. My hiking and biking buddies have been debating this. I can see both sides. It's disappointing for outdoor enthusiasts to lose this valued trail. But the family trust owns the property, not the government, and it has the right to block a public trail. Just like my parents owned that lot, and not the neighborhood, had a right to build their home there. In this case, I hope the property owners can create a compromise and allow maybe a trail on the perimeter of the property, as biking through nature's bird songs in the country is more than a lark. It's healthy and healing. This week's show is brought to you by Frogstone Media, making beautiful websites that make you money. Frogstonemedia.com. Since St. Patrick's Day is approaching, I was thinking how lovely it would be to embark on a pub crawl in Ireland. I discovered a website called Mix Custom Irish Tours. Castles, golf courses, pubs. I contacted him and I asked if he could provide a virtual pub crawl for me and my listeners. He could, and he did. Enjoy. So how do you know when you have a good bottle of whiskey?
How do you know when you have a good bottle of whiskey? You want to drink another.
There you go.
You know, that's interesting. It's much like California wines. I'm not really into the California wines, but I can appreciate the quality and different varieties, and I'm sure that most people can. And it's the same way with the whiskeys. In fact, they're very similar in that how long they're aged, who makes them, what are the ingredients, do they use the wheat or the rye in different amounts, and that sort of thing. And if it's smooth and light and mellow, you know you have a great bottle. And if it burns and bites on its way down, it's probably not a great whiskey. So you have a few pints of ale before that, and then it's okay.
And what about in the glass? Can you tell by looking at it? Or
that is interesting because the color of whiskey, when whiskey is distilled, it all comes out clear. It looks like vodka. And we don't have a lot of vodka and gin and no tequila, anything like that in the pubs. It's almost all whiskey. You just get whiskey in a pint. And the color comes from the aging in the barrels. So it depends on what kind of barrels are used, English oak, or I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mention the English. But anyway, if you use oak barrels or cherry barrels or different types of barrels, how old they are and so forth, and how long they're aged in there, imparts the color to it. So could you tell the quality from the color of whiskey? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. That's really more the aging and the barrel.
But some of the whiskeys have legs, I understand.
That's like right. Wine. You see, there's the similarity with wines again. Yes, some of the finer whiskeys, you would take your whiskey glass, although it's harder to do in a shot glass than it is a wine glass, of course. But, you know, you can twirl it around in the glass and you would notice that there's a nice, I hate to use the word film, but there's a nice oily residue left on the glass. And the longer and more compact the legs, as it drains back down, the higher quality that you have there. And when you taste it, you'll probably be able to tell.
Speaking of shots, do you know the origins of that?
Well, I think I do.
Really?
Everything, there's a legend for everything in Ireland, and like we always say, you know, probably half of it's true. So they have the original shot glass. The legend has it that back in medieval ages and so forth, when you hunted for your food, you did farm certain animals and that sort of thing. But mostly you would go out hunting and shoot a pheasant or grouse or game bird or rabbit or something like that. And when the cook brought that in to prepare it, there was often the lead shot from the shell left in the game. So as the guests ate their meals, bit into the game, there was always little pellets of the lead shot left in there. And so some lord somewhere along the line invented the little tiny glass to spit the shot into
okay.
At dinner time. And thus the shot glass. And we're very glad they invented that, by the way. Otherwise, you'd have to drink from the bottle.
That would be a shame.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
A damn shame. So tell me, Mick, where are we going to start on our tour?
Oh, we're going to do a pub crawl. St. Patty's Day is a religious holiday, although you couldn't tell from all the parades and the drinking. A special trip for us this time. I want to take us to Killarney to do our pub crawl. Okay. Get out in the real Irish countryside.
Yes.
Get down to Kerry and go to the locals.
Lovely.
So we'll just start out in Dublin the first night and hit a couple of pubs. I mean, if we're in Dublin, we might as well do as the Romans do and...
That's
and
right.
Hit a couple of pubs. We're going to have the Airlink bring us into right into the heart of the city on the River Liffey in an area that is called the Temple Bar. Happening spot right downtown with a lot of the famous pubs and all like that. That's also near Trinity College. And we'll head across Ireland. We're going from Dublin on the Irish Sea on the east coast. We're going to the west coast. We'll go straight across through Athlone into Galway. We're going to drive right by the renowned and incredibly awesome Cliffs of Moher.
Mm.
We'll have to stop and get some photos there.
Yes.
On our way down to the southwest in Killarney, which is County Kerry. Another reason I chose this for our pub crawl, my family and my ancestors are from right in County Kerry, outside of Killarney, a little place called Killorglin. We won't be going to Killorglin, but I'll be near home. Okay, we actually have something like a freeway. We call them motorways. We have the M4. We'll take the M4 right along the River Liffey. Today, as you can see, the River Liffey is on our right side here. We're driving over here on the left side, so which confuses people right off the bat. That's what I'm here for, to be the designated driver.
Appreciate it.
And as we travel along the River Liffey here, we're going to take the Liffey all the way out of town. We'll take about 5 hours on the road only, actually. Probably be taking about 8 hours for the whole trip, because we want to stop in Athlone along the way, which will be coming up here soon. And then, of course, stop over at the Cliffs of Moher on the way down the Atlantic coast for some photos and probably do some sightseeing. So we're going to turn a 5-hour trip probably into a 7 or 8 hour trip today. And as we come up here to Athlone, it's about lunchtime now, which is perfect timing because we'll go into Sean's. There's a lot of Sean's in Ireland too. Sean, Seamus, Patrick, like that. Sean's is the oldest pub in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
It's been here since 900 AD.
And how do you know?
That's what it says on the sign.
Oh, well then, okay, it must be
true. I have to take their word for it. You know, like I said, at least
because
everything...
Because the Irish are never tell stories.
Never,
you
never,
believe
never.
Everything they say.
Every legend of Ireland is at least half true. It has some basis in fact somewhere. But it has been here a long time. It actually founded on the site of an old wattle alehouse. Wattle is a flowering shrub that kind of like, you know, hops. It's just something that you add to black wattle, something you add to your beer mix. So this was the site of an old wattle alehouse. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the oldest pub in Ireland. And they still have some of the original coins, those rough look kind of Spanish doubloon looking things, The old original coins, Celtic coins and coins of England and of the realm embedded in the bar and on display. You can see they're quite interesting, quite
they
old,
are
quite
different.
Old like that. So many of them were self-minted here to use as currency. Their pub fare here, as anywhere, is quite good. They serve almost all day long. There's full Irish breakfast, which is actually a phrase, full Irish breakfast, which is not that much different than a Denny's Grand Slam, actually. It just tastes better and you're having it in a pub. But it's usually eggs, potatoes, of course, got to have potatoes. And then we get the rashers, which is Irish bacon, and then some sort of bread, and then your tea or coffee. And of course, you got to have a little, some like Bailey's, some like Irish whiskey, some just have a pint. Like that.
That's your juice.
That's our juice. Yeah, like that. Well, as we often say, well, we have a lot of sayings in Ireland. For that one, we say there's wisdom in whiskey, bravery in beer, and bacteria in water.
Yeah.
We never want to touch
no.
that stuff will kill you, I'm telling you, like that. That's why the plague
Seriously.
Never came to Ireland. We never drank the water.
All makes sense now.
Doesn't it make sense? See, there you go. Let's head on out over, we'll keep going on the M6 motorway now. We're staying on the major roads to cross Ireland here. Now head over to Galway. We'll turn south, which is the side we're on the road, so it's an easier turn than going this way. And we'll go down to the Cliffs of Moher. This is the most stunning sights in Ireland, and there's a lot of stunning sights in Ireland. These are, I don't even know how high these cliffs are. They're magnificently huge. They run all along the Atlantic coast here into Galway Bay, and along you can see the Aran Islands off the coast there. Cliffs are not just magnificent. This is the first place. This is the farthest west point of Europe. The Dingle Peninsula, which sticks out a little bit south of us here, is actually the farthest west point where the North Atlantic actually hits the Irish island. Hmm. And when those waves crash into these cliffs and spray up, it's just a magnificent
dramatic
sight. Yes. And we can also take, we won't be doing it because we want to get to our pub crawl, but we can take little boats and ferries and charters out in the water. And you can actually sail and look up at the Cliffs of Moher and take photos from down there.
Oh,
go
nice.
To the Aran Islands if you like that. But we have to be moving on here so that we can get down to Killarney. There's a number of beautiful sites as we go through Ennis and Ballybunion, world famous golf course, by the way. All right, as we arrive in Killarney here, like I said, we spent about 5 hours on the road. We've taken us about 3 hours to get here. Very enjoyable, beautiful drive, yes?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Okay,
so I wanted everybody to see, you know, some of the countryside of Ireland, some of the beauty of Ireland, how green it is, how friendly and warm a place it is. But Killarney is in the heart. When you think of Ireland, you think of Killarney and County Kerry. The cliffs, the Dingle Peninsula, the golf courses. Ireland has 6 national parks in the size of the state of Indiana, which has no national parks, by the way. And I think the most beautiful and magnificent of all is right here in Killarney, the Killarney National Park. And we'll be staying near there, but we're going to go right into the heart of Killarney and stay at the Arbutus. Interesting story. Mr. Tim Buckley dreamt of owning a hotel like this, a lodge like this, as he was growing up as a boy. So he came to America. The difference with him is he wanted to make it happen and started working in New York to save and buy this hotel. Then about 1928, Tim Buckley came back, which is unusual for many Irish who come to America, and he bought this hotel. The word arbutus or arbutus tree means strawberry tree. It is the only tree native to Ireland that cannot be found. So what a great name for an local Killarney. It only grows Sligo, this area that we're in, Sligo County, at Cork, and of course all over Kerry, which is the county that we're in. After 1928, it was successful with the Arbutus Hotel. He bought the Kenmare Arms Hotel right next to us, and so he joined those two under one name, more modern hotel, very beautifully decorated. He has one of the most rare and famous collections, the furnishings, the decor, even the dishes here are Celtic, many of them old Celtic wood that were custom built for the hotel. This collection is the largest and most rare that's known in the world, actually.
So, really?
And the best part of all of the Arbutus Hotel, besides being in the heart of our pub crawl, is the pub. We have Buckley's Bar, of course. Tim Buckley founded the hotel, so we have Buckley's Bar right downstairs. We will start there tonight. And we will finish there tonight.
Nice.
That's why I call it a crawl. We'll be crawling by then, so it's good to be use your room right upstairs like that.
Your bed's waiting for you, or the floor, whichever you get to first.
Well, speaking of crawling, a standard Irish story. We will actually be going to Murphy's Pub tonight. There's a Murphy's Pub in every town and village and city in Ireland, I'm sure. I've never been to anywhere that doesn't have a Murphy's Pub. We'll be going to Murphy's tonight, which is one of the largest and most famous pubs in Killarney. But there's a legend in every town and village in Ireland. You know, each one has the man who drinks a little too much. He's known as the town drunk. He would be in America.
What would be the Irish slang for that? Pub slang for someone who's had too much?
Yeah, we have a number of, he could be a bogger. He could be scuttered. Langers was Killarney's, shall we call him, Larney's bogger. His wife, like many Irish brides, Catholic, staunch Catholic, deathly against the demon drink. So many nights, Patrick had to wait for his wife to fall asleep at night so he could head down to the pub. He'd go down to Murphy's Pub, his usual spot. He was there later than usual one night, having a few extra. And Murphy said, "Patrick, me boy, last call, time to drink up." So he downs his last pint, tries to get up off the bar stool and go home. He falls flat on his face on the floor. He says, "Holy cow, I must have had a little bit more to drink than I thought." So he has to crawl outside and get a little fresh air. He crawls outside, tries to stand up and walk home. He falls flat on his face in the gutter. Now he has to crawl the 4 blocks home. So he crawls home, he tries to get up and go into the house. Thank goodness we paint all the doors in Ireland red or green or yellow, different colors, so you know which one's yours. And so he found the yellow door and he tries to get up and go into the house. And sure enough, he falls face first into the doorway. He crawls into the bedroom. He tries to get up and get into bed. Sure enough, he falls face first into the bed. He's awakened in the morning with his wife shaking him and hollering at him. "Patrick O'Malley, were you down at Murphy's Pub drinking again last night?" And he says, "Why, no, dear. Whatever gave you that idea?" And she says, "Well, Murphy just called. You left your wheelchair there again." So that's the Murphy's Pub we'll be going to.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Okay. So I have a brief question.
Yes.
You know, with Obamacare and everybody debating about that, what's the medical care in Ireland?
Well, we have socialized medicine.
Okay.
It's quite a bit different from this Obamacare thing that you've got going on here. I mean, first of all, we've had it for many, many years. I mean, way before I was born. And it seems to work okay. You do get sort of free medical care, although you're paying taxes for it. And the problem is, like anywhere, you know, you have to line up with a clinic and maybe you don't see the same doctor and all that sort of thing. And quality, I'm sure, is fine, but if you really need something serious done, you would go to Switzerland or America or something like that. Basically, here's the kind of care you get in Irish socialized medicine. The doctor asks, you know, what's the problem? He says, well, doc, it's been hurting when I do this. He says, don't do that. And that's your care.
There you go.
You choke on your tay or something like that. He said, don't do that. So the first thing we want to do is, since Killarney is filled with so many pubs and so many different types of pubs, we have the quaint pubs, we have the iconic pubs, we have the old, we have the new, the large and small. We'll try to hit, I think we can get 6 of them tonight and get a flavor of the different kinds of pubs that are in Killarney, which would be throughout Ireland very much the same. These are all within crawling distance. Although we're going to start out with dinner, I think we should hit the restaurant first. We're going to go up to Gaby's. Since it's at the other end of Main Street, where it becomes High Street, at the north end of town here, a fun thing to do, let's walk along here, along East Street, that's a major roadway to the big roundabout called the Haha. I think it's mostly because if you just sit here on the curb or in the center of the park and the roundabout in the center itself, and just watch the people driving through, especially the tourists, you just laugh, you ha ha. So that's the same. I don't know why, I just made that up, but
works
I think
for
that's
me.
Why we call it the Haha. Anyway, at the Haha is where we can pick up a jaunty cab. And we're going to take a jaunty cab up Main Street, which is going to be lovely. Because if we walk, we'll stop at all the pubs and we won't ever make it to dinner. Because Main Street, High Street are covered in pubs. That's a lovely quaint with all the shops. And the jaunty cab is a horse-drawn carriage. And the Irish style, this is not like Cinderella's horse-drawn carriage.
Oh, no.
This is a hay wagon with large wheels and one horse. And it's Grand Crack. It's
nice.
Grand Crack. Oh. I guess I should tell Californians what that is,
yes.
Or Americans what that is. It's C-R-A-double-dot-I-C, crack. It's the Irish word, Gaelic word for fun. So you're going to hear a lot of crack tonight, and I hope we're going to have some grand crack tonight. So first thing we get on the jaunty cab, we'll be regaled by stories by our cab driver, local Irishman like that, as we clop along up Main Street. So we're going to go to Gaby's restaurant. It's at the other end of High Street, as I said, which it was Main Street, changed its name to High Street here across the East Street. We're going to be staying right in this area. Main Street, New Street, High Street, College, and part of College is a beautiful little lane called Plunkett Lane and Clover's Lane. We're going to stay in this egg-shaped little circle right here in Midtown. You will not believe how many pubs we're going to see. But we're going to hit the 6 highlights. Gaby's is a famous seafood restaurant. And Ireland is an island after... Try to say that a few times real quick. Ireland is an island after all.
Once would be a challenge.
Right? And it's a very wet island. We have the streams and rivers and lakes and bays and ponds and the bogs everywhere. Like, in fact, we're having a bit of a flooding problem over in Cork, and that's why we didn't go over there.
Okay.
Terrible floods in Cork and the southeast coast right now. But we have too much water, unlike parts of America there. Since we have so much fish, so much fresh fish, and Gaby's is a great little reliable restaurant, cute, funky, quaint local place, and great, great seafood, I thought we'd go there. So after a superb meal, the best thing to do, all the music starts in Ireland, particularly Killarney, but all over Ireland, the music starts at 9:30. We're going to head right next door. We're going to go right down High Street here to New Street, and we're going to go to Danny Mann's. Danny Mann's, famous pub in Ireland. It's a super-sized pub, so we'll start off with a big crowd and big party early in the evening here tonight. They have live music. Almost all the pubs have live music every night, definitely on the weekend. It's Grand Crack. As we enter, you notice this beautiful facade. It's below a hotel and a restaurant up above. Large, kind of modern, although an old Irish building. They've updated it and renovated it, modernized it really well. Beautiful large pub inside. Big crowd, young crowd, 30s and 40s maybe, like that. Everybody comes here, locals and tourists alike. And this is Killarney's most famous Irish singing pub. So we're all going to sing the pub songs tonight. Do you know your pub songs? Molly Malone, What Do You Do With a Drunken Sailor?
What
Whiskey
do you do
in the Jar?
Okay.
That's it.
As far as I know, is that one line?
Well, you'll know more by the time we're out of here tonight, like that. Danny Mann's has been Danny Mann's for over 70 years now. That's a relatively new pub in Ireland. You may have noticed we have a 300-year-old pub. Most buildings here and businesses are 300 or more years old. So this is only, it's been a pub for longer, but Danny Mann's for the last 70 years. Best live Irish live music in Killarney in County Kerry. Probably hear a joke or two along the way. Probably a tale from long ago. We know a few tales of the ancient times in Ireland. Then we're going to sing the night away. Well, not the whole night because we've got to move on. But we'll do some singing with the band and the local patrons. You'll notice that there you have a huge open horse-shaped bar here in the center. And all the tables and the patrons around. And the bandstand up at the end of the building. At that open end of the bar down there, notice the copper fireplace.
Yes, that caught my eye when we walked in.
That is a true trademark of Danny Mann's. The old telephone boxes on the walls here, stone walls, the ancient stone walls originally here, the heavy beamed timber ceilings. So it gives for a large pub, gives quite a cozy, authentic feeling to it. We have the walled mirrors on the wall, even makes it look so it opened up a little bit. All these tables you see are the original hunting tables. You see a lot of benches and then chairs at them. This was back from the time I was telling about the shot glass, where these were actually hunting tables that were out in the countryside and in the hunting lodge.
But what do you mean hunting table? They would
take these big tables, actually make them out of the local timber when you were hunting. And you would sit and clean your game there. You could even prepare it and eat at these large, heavy tables. Wintertime in Ireland can be quite severe. We call it lashing out. We just have the two seasons here in Ireland. We just have the rainy season, and then we have the wet season.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. We have July. But never come here in July, because everybody
wants to
comes here in July, all right? Hey, it's sunny in Ireland. The Brits come over here. The Americans come over here. That's all right. The Germans and the Swedes and everybody comes over here in July. And one of my favorite parts is right about now, as the music starts up, they'll bring out the young gals for traditional Irish dancing. I love the traditional Irish dance, the jig and the reel, and they do the clogging, as it's called, or the bucket dance, where they keep their arms straight they're in a bucket, like that. Like the river dance, exactly. Yeah. Like this place being so famous for Kerry's singing, Irish singing band, and live music. This week, we have the Irish Weavers will perform, the Molly Maguires, Celtic Whispers, and Natural Gas. Tonight, we actually get to hear the Molly Maguires. So I'm going to have a Redbreast. Irish whiskey is Uisce Beatha, and a pint of plain. A pint of plain is Guinness.
Okay.
A local stout. Maybe they serve Murphy's, but not here.
Well, tell me about the Redbreast. What's the story?
Oh, the Redbreast, my favorite whiskey in the world. This is a very old whiskey. It's the last pure pot-stilled whiskey left in the world. As far as we know, that's what Redbreast claims. It's made by the Middleton folks in Middleton over in Cork County. And this is a very smooth, all the things we're talking about, quality of whiskey. You'll notice it's a great light caramel color for perfect Irish whiskey color. You'll notice the great legs and kind of the oily residue and the legs on the glass. You'll notice it like wine, it has the great aroma. And when we taste it, it's going to taste as fine as it can be. Fortunately, we're getting the 19-year-old. In Ireland, you can get the 15 and the 19 quite readily. Not so much in the US. I mean, you can get it. But Redbreast has become so popular worldwide, especially in the US. And the process was rather slow in making volume. They started making the 12-year so they could produce more product more quickly. And they ship a great deal of that. That's primarily what they ship and export and what you get most anywhere in the U.S. But fortunately, we're drinking the 19. So we'll start with a traditional Irish toast.
Yes.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
You say sláinte under the bar, my favorite part. How's that? Lovely. Oh, I need another one of those. That's why you end up pub crawling.
Yes.
That's pretty tasty
that
stuff.
That is
like that.
Damn good.
And there's one more thing that we like to do. In Ireland, we don't do like margaritas and whatever. A mixed drink in Ireland is whiskey and a pint. Yeah, so anywhere you go in Ireland, especially if you don't want to sound like a tourist, you say, I'll take a pint of plain and a whiskey.
Okay.
All right? Never, ever order. Don't order daiquiris and margaritas. And
I wouldn't anyway.
Well, you wouldn't, but some...
Ha ha.
And
what would you call those people?
Oh, those would definitely be boggers. You know the worst thing we can call them?
Mm.
Tourists. Boggers is like a bumpkin, a local.
What about tips? What is the tipping protocol?
That is a great question. Generally, no tipping in the pubs.
Oh, really?
The bar masters, the bartenders are all rather well paid, and it is often considered, even the local small pub owner who's obviously, you know, not doing great, not wealthy, you know, by financial means, still it's a bit of an insult to tip. They want to provide great service, a great pour, and a great whiskey experience and a warm, welcoming experience for you. That's expected, not to be paid extra for. Now, you got a younger bartender, obviously not the pub owner or something like that. You want to give them, you know, not kid, but young person, probably only been there 20 years working. They want to give them a little extra when you leave. There's nothing wrong with that. And certainly in the larger hotels, bars, and the larger commercial pubs in Dublin and places of that nature, you can tip, or they would even include it on the check. Basic rule of thumb, don't tip, you'll be fine. You'll look less touristy than if you do tip.
You don't want to be a bogger.
Don't want to be a bogger. We'll sing a few songs along with the band here. Whoa, one of my favorite songs is playing. The Wild Rover, oh, never no more. Everybody, really.
I don't know this one.
I love this one. Play the Wild River, never no more. And then there was a song of Galway. She came all the way from Galway to be with the king. Interesting story about that one. Young lass Elvis, very big in Ireland. Yeah, we love the music there and the rock and roll, and we couldn't get it. So sailors and tourists and merchants coming from America to Ireland would often have those little 45 single records. I don't know what the word is, pirate them. That was what they call it now, you know, back in those days. And we used to stay up and try to listen to Elvis. And this story, this legend, is obviously a new one. This young lass, you know, like the young girls that went gaga over Elvis, her whole life's dream was to go to America and see Elvis and hear him sing. So she worked jobs as a scullery maid and a barmaid and a wench and everything. Saved her pennies and saved enough money to finally leave Galway and go to Tennessee, to Memphis, and see Elvis and see him perform. So she bought her plane ticket. And the legend has it that on her way from Galway to see the king was when Elvis' body was found, when he died. And so she landed in America, discovered the news, and she went to the gates of Graceland and mourned for Elvis. That's very typical of every Irish song. They sound fun, they sound light and happy, and yet if you listen to the words, they're quite sad. And then some of them are just sad right from the beginning. They sound like a dirge, right? Like, ooh, ooh, you
know, but they're poignant.
Ireland has, if you want to look at it, what's that? Glass half full, half empty. You could say that they have a pretty oppressed, depressing economy. Has always been so bad. It's always been a poor country. We had the potato famine and horrible stories about children and that. British oppression, had the troubles up in Ulster. But the Irish choose always half full. We're just a happy people. So we look up on the other side. So we make happy songs, dancing, gay music that just happens to have sad, poetic lyrics to them. But we need to move on. We've had our toast at Danny Mann's. We should now move on to probably the best and most famous pub called The Laurels.
The Laurels. Laurels.
The Laurels, yes. You can see The Laurels, this beautiful red Irish facade, traditional Irish pub. We go inside, it's the dark wood, the low ceilings. This is a pub. If you did a pub crawl for, like, if you could really take the alcohol and did a pub crawl, like, all night or for several days, what you want to do is where we rode the jaunty cab. You'd actually just want to walk and listen outside every pub. Noise that you like and see a crowd that you like and you pop in. The Laurels has a very long legend about its history and how it came to be, but it's basically the original owner, sportsman, and pub owner, Thad O'Leary, founded it. And he was, as a sportsman, he was the owner of dogs. Racing in Ireland is huge. We love the horse racing, love the steeplechase. Dog racing, we don't really much care. If we can bet on it, we'll like it.
You'll bet on anything that moves fast, huh?
Or slow.
Okay.
They had the Wimbledon Dog Races Festival, Greyhound Racing, over in Wimbledon, London, England. Thad O'Leary, he knew a man named Moss Lawler, who raised greyhounds. Decided one night they had a few extra redbreasts, I think, and a couple of extra Guinness. And they bred some of their greyhounds and gave Thaddo the choice of the litter. And he picked one from a litter called Kilbrian Boy. Kilbrian Boy became very, very famous. To make a long story short, it was called the Wimbledon's Laurel Races. That's what the festival was over there. And of course, Thaddo went over to the Wimbledon first inaugural Wimbledon Laurels Races. And of course, his dog. Now, this was not only great because there were so many patrons back home betting on this, and the money that was to be won was the hugest prize of all time back, the equivalent of probably £500,000 today. Not only that, but to beat the Brits on their own soil, at their own race, with their years of breeding and history, was amazing. So, of course, the crowds back home, his pub, they all went nuts, they went crazy, and everybody. And when he returned home, they lifted him up on his shoulders and on their shoulders and marched him through town and hailed him and all that. Now, part of this legend goes that either Thado or his friend Orton were supposed to call. They didn't have telephones, so one of them was supposed to go to the nearest telephone in London and try to call the nearest telephone back in Killarney here and announce the results of the race once they happen. Well, Thado, being a pub owner, among other things, had two full giant barrels of porter, all finished, all aged, already in the bottles, and he said if they won, to pop both barrels, and it was all free for the town to drink until he got home. Well, before the race even happened, or maybe while it was going on, we don't know, some smart aleck, they like the stout and the porter a little bit there in Irish. You know, we like to drink a wee bit. He went to the pharmacy in town. They had a phone, and he called the pub and said, "We won, we won, open the beer." So they opened the beer. They hadn't even run the race yet. But as it turned out, that's legend. We don't know how much that is true. But as it turned out, he did win, and it was a huge deal, and he made a lot of money. His son, Con, inherited the pub, of course, and his father's legend. And having won the first ever Wimbledon Laurels, he named the pub the Laurel.
Nice.
Since it was the first inaugural race, he was awarded Gold Cup, and he brought that home, of course, and put it in the bar. And as you see, it remains here on display today. Now, the important thing about that is, that was 1930 thereabouts, so there's been 70 or 80 Laurels run since then. The Wimbledon Laurels folks contacted the son and asked if he would return. They would pay for it, but asked if he would return that original cup, because it was the inaugural one, first of all, very historic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only one missing. If you go to the Laurels trophy case in Wimbledon today, they have 89 of the 90 trophies on display. And the only one that's not there is that one right there, here with the Laurels.
Nice.
So I think it's about time to drink up, eh?
Yes.
All right. May your path be bathed in sunshine. May you never shed a tear. Yada, yada, yada. Let's go have a beer.
There we go.
You're getting a hang of this, aren't you?
I'm pretty good.
By the end of the evening, oh, my voice is getting better already. See, it just coats the voice.
It does. Smooth.
We call the redbreast, among other things, it's like a caramel feather going down your throat and landing on your tummy. So now we're going to head up College Street here, which is the main street that goes back sort of towards our hotel at the Arbutus, but we'll be going through the central part of town here and going up Plunkett Lane. Plunkett Lane's a narrow little, what you would think of Ireland, the narrow cobblestone streets and the pubs on both sides. And we want to go in to Courtney's, large pub in the middle of the street. We're getting a little bit smaller and cozier now. This is for the atmosphere of the street and the atmosphere of the bar. And you'll notice this is a lot more locals. Now, Killarney being the hub of this whole Kerry area, the Ring of Kerry, world famous. Everybody goes to the Ring of Kerry. Many castles, of course, a bit of a tourist area. Since we're coming up on St. Patrick's Day,
yes,
you know, that's the biggest holiday of all. I mean, that's second only to Christmas, or maybe bigger. I mean, you know, it depends on how you look at it. But
I understand that America actually originated the holiday, that Ireland...
It is. They originated it. That's very true. But it's become so huge. I mean, it was a small religious holiday in Ireland.
So it really was originally...
Right.
But religious, though.
The U.S. has made a big festival of it, and since he's our patron saint, well, we gotta...
yours.
We had to overdo it. Take it back. And oddly enough, it celebrates St. Patrick's death, the date of his death, as far as we can tell. Archaeological digs. Hard to say after you've had a few...
It is, and without any.
A couple of pints there like that. Best known date of his death. The reason I brought it up is, in a place like this, at Courtney's, I'm sure all your listeners, and you know the legend of St. Patrick, right? They chased all the snakes out of Ireland, right? Exactly. Exactly. Which is actually true. He chased them into law schools.
Boom.
Uh-oh.
Boom.
Oh, there's probably lawyers out there. I just lost his clients now, eh? A little three-piece band almost doing a jam session in the corner over there, as you can hear.
Nice.
Whack for the Dario. Whack for the Dario. There's whiskey in the jar. My favorite pub song. Sing along, Julie.
Whiskey in the jar.
There you go. That's perfect. All right. You're fitting right into Courtney's here. Like, forever order an Irish car bomb in Ireland.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't say obvious, because apparently people actually do that.
They do.
For you to bring that up.
You got the young people.
Unbelievable.
The young people, especially 22, 25.
Ignorant, don't know.
And then they got, some of the older, like 30-year-old guys, I think,
They're being funny.
They're tough, tough guys. I'll have an Irish car bomb like that. I'm not recognized as a drink in Ireland, and it is an insult, that's coarse.
Of course it is, yes.
And not even funny.
No, it's not.
There are a few things you can do in an Irish pub that will get you ignored or poor service. Then there's things that will get you asked to leave or physically thrown out.
Which are?
Ordering an Irish car bomb will get you physically thrown out. Being a bit of a moldy, or if you get too ossified like that, you're gonna, and maybe you're insulting the ladies. Now, the ladies, very rarely, very traditional country, very strict Catholic country still, are not generally go to a pub unescorted. Nowadays, it's much more modern. They do go out for girls' night and like that. But you don't, bother them. You don't insult them. You don't be a jerk. That's called a gobshock.
People that do that.
I think we're headed back, headed eastward here, heading back towards up College Street further over to Clover's Lane. That's another little narrow cobblestone street. Beautiful little lane, like Plunkett Lane here. We're going to go up Clover's Lane into Murphy's. Murphy's, as you can see, that's a great Irish pub here on this end. And it's all part of a three-part building that's all part of Murphy's now. We have Murphy's Pub first, and then Lord Kenmare's, the restaurant here in the middle and upstairs up above. And then we have Squire's on the other side, a smaller, cozier. Oh, I forgot. We had something to drink at Courtney's, didn't we?
I don't think we did.
We didn't have anything to drink at Courtney's.
You let me down.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to switch to Courtney's. Being a local pub, prices, you may have already noticed, outside of Dublin, can even be half of what things are in Dublin, but at least a third less. You can shop in Dublin because you have all the shops. You can obviously drink at thousands of pubs in Dublin, hotels, all that sort of thing. You get out in the countryside, though, the same shopping, the same pubs, the same Guinness, the same whiskey is much less. Much less. And if you get a local tight little pub like Courtney's, their prices are even better maybe than at the Laurels or Danny Mann's. So I think we can afford a Middleton.
Okay.
That is Redbreast on steroids. That's Redbreast up the next level.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. It. All right. So may you live to be 100 and 1 year more to repent. Yeah, that Middleton is quite something, but it's actually made by the same company as Redbreast in Middleton, County Clark, and it's quite expensive. In the U.S., that can run $9.50 a shot is the least I've seen. It usually runs $10.50 to $12.50 in most bars and pubs in America, and I'm pretty sure a fifth. Middleton runs in discount places if you can get it. It's maybe $100 U.S., and it can get up to, 200, 250 U.S. But it's worth it, eh?
Yeah.
That's great. We won't be drinking a lot of those tonight.
Okay.
If you've lived to be 100 and you've repented the next year, then here at Courtney's, we're going to move right up the street. As I said, going to Murphy's. We got to go to Patrick O'Malley's Murphy's Pub. Morning is a time to pity the sober, because that's as good as they're going to feel all day. So that's why I'm feeling grand. I'm feeling great.
Got it.
Are you having crack?
Yes.
Have a great crack, yeah? We got music. We got
grand crack.
Grand crack.
Grand.
We got this was established as Murphy's in 1955. So again, for Ireland standards, fairly new.
A baby.
American standards, it's over 50 years old. So this was, as you can see, a traditional Irish public house. By the way, the word pub comes from public house.
Makes sense. People
always go, why do they call it a pub? It's just a bar. No, it's a pub. Pubs almost all serve food, as you've noticed. It's great food. It's comfort food. It's greasy food. It is so good. You want fish and chips. You want bangers and chips. We call our potatoes, our fried potatoes, chips. And we call our potato chips crisps. Here at Murphy's, we have Peggy Murphy was the original wife of the owner, and she was the original pub master seller.
Well, are there any sweets that somebody should maybe look for?
Ireland was like England, unfortunately, for cuisine for the longest time. Their food was awful. But now it's getting to be quite a culinary center, and it's nothing real, completely, totally Irish. We have Irish soda bread. We have some of the Irish cakes and puddings and that sort of thing that have a real Irish flavor to them are traditional here. But no, nothing like, this is just an Irish dessert. But that said, the cakes And some of our tarts, unbelievable.
Well, as we're walking around from pub to pub, I'm noticing...
The bakeries.
I'm noticing the bakeries. Well, I'm wondering what I should go in and help myself to.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I didn't know we were supposed to start at a bakeries. You want to start at bakeries too?
We weren't starting there. They just happened to be catching my eye.
But the Middleton is dessert.
This is true. Liquid dessert.
We have Middleton for dessert. I tell you what we'll do.
Yes.
In the morning, we're going to have full Irish breakfast.
Okay.
All right. And we'll stop. We'll stop here at the bakery right here on Clover's Lane. We'll come right here by the hotel, and we'll have some Irish cakes after breakfast. How's
Excellent.
That? Yes, that's great. Oh, we're here coming out of Murphy's here. Got Dirty Old Town. It's a dirty old town. So you have to learn all these pub songs. Right? That's fun.
Homework.
I like this song in the background going on. So Murphy's, we're talking about Peggy, and she built the legendary, truly legendary, in Killarney, hospitality and warmth that she brought to Murphy's here and made it such a popular local. Their son, Sean, has taken over. And in fact, let's meet Sean here. I think Sean's behind the bar here. Can you pour us a true Murphy's mixed drink? We want an Irish mixed drink.
Yes, please.
You may notice that the Irish mixed drink looks a lot like a whiskey and a pint that you had at the other pubs.
Yes, it does. How is it different,
How is it different? Well, we haven't mixed it in our mouth yet. We drank them separately before. This is a mixed drink.
Okay.
So the first thing, yeah, it does look a lot like a shot of whiskey and a pint of... Now, you do notice that we're not getting the stouts this time. We're not in the dark beers. This time we're going with the Pilsner. We want to go with the lighter lager or Pilsner type because we're going to mix the whiskey and the beer in our mouth, and that's an Irish mixed drink. And you don't want the stout, the beer, to overpower this fine whiskey like that. With that said, thank you, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
Emily Felcha. So we're going to put a sip of the whiskey, this fine red breast, in our mouth, and then we're going to keep that while we put the beer in and mix that in our mouth. You will not believe the flavor combination of that, and you have an Irish mixed drink.
So you hold the whiskey in your mouth. You don't swallow it.
Right. That's correct. Put the beer in, mix that in your palate, and then you swallow the whole thing as a mixed drink. Here's to being single, drinking doubles, and seeing triple. Now what do you think of that?
I'm a happy girl.
Isn't that
I am a
grand?
Happy girl.
Now
that was smooth.
That's a caramel feather right there.
A caramel
feather.
It has
kind of a vanilla flavor in your mouth. Easy to drink, isn't it?
Oh.
Almost too easy to
That's
drink.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking it's too easy. You'll notice the interior of Murphy's is quite unique. I mean, for Killarney, this is the first pub, the real traditional interior that we've seen so far, where it's got the pitch pine on all the walls and the ceiling that was actually taken from an old church here in County Kerry. It's been recrafted, as you can see, throughout the bar. And then we have the stained cathedral glass here. And you notice St. Catherine's Cathedral, the huge gray cathedral on the horizon when we were coming down Main Street over there. That's St. Catherine's. You know, I think pubs are the only thing that outnumber Catholic churches and cathedrals, and that's hard to do.
Well, you drink in both.
Yes, you do. Well put. Combine that with this exposed stonework of the original building that was here, and you see the collection of all the old mementos and photographs, low ceiling, and you just get this cozy ambiance. One thing you'll notice, all the dartboards on the wall. Well, every pub we've been to has the darts, right? We love the darts. And we can bet on it. So there's another great thing. Now, you don't want to stand late in the... This... Oh, my goodness. Look at that. We're coming up on almost 11 p.m. right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, we've had a grand crack. We listened to some music. We saw some dancing. In about an hour or two, when we're coming up on the other side of midnight, you don't want to stand too close or sit too close to the dartboards over here like that. The aim
they
starts
go astray.
Going wild.
Yes.
Yeah, you start getting a little wilder at that time of night. But actually, Murphy's here organizes the huge annual Murphy's Dart Tournament for County Kerry. They come from all over the country to play in the tournament here. It is actually the largest dart tournament in all of Munster. Now, Munster is this region, this south, central, and west region of Ireland. There's four provinces or four regions of Ireland. There's Ulster up in the north, Munster that we're here now, at Leinster, which is over in the Dublin and the Irish East Coast side, and then Connacht. Connacht is up in Galway and up on the upper, and Donegal up on the upper northwest side. Out of four provinces, this dart tournament is the largest and oldest in all of Munster, and it attracts some pretty good dart players. In fact, on the American television, I see that they have these on some of your cable channels from time to time. They actually have Murphy's Dart Tournament on there from time to time. Well, try your hand.
Yes.
A dart. All right, go ahead.
Make sure there's a clear area on either side.
All right, you see, we got the carpet behind the on the wall behind
yes,
the dart.
Okay.
I think you can hit it like that. What you want to do is we count down. We do that style of darts. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the darts like that, but you want to try to hit that outer triple ring, those little circles, the little squares, rectangles on the outer circles. Try to get your triples and get your highest scores to count down. You want to get to zero before your opponent does. Like, here, give it a shot.
Okay.
Oh, not too bad there like that. You hit the wall. That's pretty good. Hey, you say you couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. That's a, you just did.
I missed the ceiling. So I'm
and you miss there. And you miss Seamus sitting over there too. Like
and I believe he's buying me a drink just because I didn't hit him.
Hey, I'll miss
you
for
are
that.
A friendly country.
I'll miss for that. I tell you what, then. That's Murphy's. We've had a drink. We've had a toast. Had little darts here like that.
Lovely.
We're going to go by Squire's, you know, part of this complex. That is Murphy's, Lord Kenmare's Restaurant and Squire's. We're going to go by Squire's on our way. That's just the part, that's the smaller, cozier part of Murphy's. It has really delectable pub dining. I mean, it sounds strange to say pub dining. We used to call it pub grub. And pub grub's super fine comfort food, but this is a little bit better dining at Squire's, and it's finished in the old classical dark wood, the leather chairs and accessories like that. This is more of a cozy old style men's club. We're headed towards past 11:30 now, and you know, I think we want to get over to Kelly's Corner up Clover's Lane here and over at a place we call Michael Collins Place. Michael Collins was one of the main revolutionaries. Did you notice the signs here when we were up in Dublin and we were coming across the country and down to Killarney? Did you notice all the businesses and the street signs and everything was written with the English first above?
Yes, I
did.
And
then the little small Gaelic print below.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed the change here in Killarney?
I did. I wonder, what is that? And is that the infamous Gaelic I've heard tell
that
of?
That is. That's, yeah. Gaelic is like the most illogical, impossible language on earth, and unfortunately it's a dying language. But here in Kerry, a little bit up in Clare and the near Galway and the nearby counties here, it's still very strong. And so they put the Gaelic first on the buildings and the signs and the roads and all that, and then the English. We want to head over here to Kelly's Corner. You'll notice Kelly's is literally a corner. It's tucked, you can't even see it. It's tucked back here off of Clover's Lane in Michael Collins Place, where we have the Fairview Lodge and Hotel here. That's the main building. And then you see the Shugan, which is a very popular hostel. It's a pretty nice hostel for a hostel. But those are the two main buildings you see here. And you see tucked in the corner where the two of them meet back here is Kelly's Corner. This tiny little pup. Read the sign above the door. It's exactly what Kelly's is. It says, Kelly's Corner. Drinking consultants. So let's go in and consult with Kelly about having some drinks.
You want to drink with the very best.
Oh, yeah. That's
you need what, experts.
That's, I just love that old sign. Kelly's old place. You see, it's got the red woods, clobbered siding like
yes.
that, the green door, the white trim, a little tight little pub. It was worth walking back in here to the
yes,
corner.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, and you can almost see the Arbutus Hotel up the lane here. So they have 8 bar stools and 1 table.
There's cozy and then there's cozy.
Yeah, yes. I'm going to do a mixed drink this time.
Okay.
So, Kelly, if I can have a whiskey and a pint, may the roof above you never fall in and the friends below never fall out. I'll drink to that.
Me
of course,
too.
I'll drink to Tuesday.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. You've seen the whole tour of Kelly's, unless you want to try the loo.
I might have to stop at the loo pretty soon.
If you turn around here, you've pretty much seen Kelly's. We're on the other side of midnight now.
Yes.
And so why don't we crawl on up here? We're going to finish up back where we started at Buckley's Bar. This is a grand old bar back at the Arbutus Strawberry Tree Lodge. Since don't want to be driving, you know, the Irish always say you should never drink and drive, only when you putt, because, you know, it steadies the hands.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting to be that time of night, unless you want to do another tour, we've got about 12 or 15 more pubs to go, and your bakery. I thought we could.
That's
do that.
My breakfast. Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
We'll do that in the morning then. Back at Buckley's, when one of his daughters came her turn to inherit, he bought the hotel next door, the Killarney Hotel. Combined those, that was 1926, and combined those into the hotel and pub that you see today. Buckley's, known for its traditional Irish music, what we call trad. Mr. Tim Buckley, the founder himself, was often down here in Buckley's pub. Singing. He always came down to sing, and he loved the traditional trad Irish music. So that's what we're here for now. You can hear the great traditional music playing in the back, traditional fiddle. We got a squeeze box, accordion over there, a little bit of mandolin, and of course the bodhrán. I actually play the bodhrán, which is the Irish hand drum. You just hold the Irish hand drum. And so, but Irish actually have rhythm. You've seen them dance?
Anyway. They have a pulse of the spirit of life.
Wow, can I write that down?
You may.
That was well put.
Thank you.
The spirit of life is Ireland. That is lovely like that. Are you sure not Irish?
I may be.
I mean, you got the red hair and you got the complexion. You got.
I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot, actually.
You got the rosy cheeks. And everything. I think you're Irish, lass.
I think the drinking's helping with the red cheeks.
Is that? So we're talking about Tim loving the trad music. Coming down actually singing. So that's why we're here. You can hear in the background we got some Irish traditional singing going on. And it's still to this day the heart of Killarney's traditional trad music scene. We've heard all different sorts of music tonight. I mean Irish music. Mm-hmm. But you've heard the more modern, the more ancient, the slower. The pub songs, you know, a lot of pub songs mostly because we were in the pubs. But this is a real more traditional trad Irish music. This is the hub. One of the great things. For the Dario, there's whiskey in the jar. Maybe the most, except for Danny Boy, it's probably the most popular song in Ireland like that. Best part of Buckley's here is some of the country's finest Irish traditional trad musicians. I just drop in and pick up instruments and start playing. Unplanned, unprogrammed, unamplified, of course, sessions. They'll just drop by and say hi to the owners and start that. You can be sitting here and some of the greatest trad musicians can come in here. I mean, even the Chieftains or the Dubliners or something can come stop by in here. I recall when I first came to the U.S., I like your American country music. They say that its roots come from Irish music.
Very similar.
Very similarly. So I wanted to see that. Branson. So I went to the Branson to hear some of the music like that. And I was in a local little, whatever the local little bar there was, somebody performing. And I kid you not, it's just one of those things that happens like happens here at Buckley's. Johnny Cash and June Carter were touring and they stopped in for a pint and or whatever he drinks, Tennessee whiskey, I guess. And they came in and just did a session and were whooping up and doing Jackson and she was kicking her shoes off right there on the stage 5 feet from you.
Like that.
And that's what can happen here at Buckley's. You never know. We'll be sitting here having a pint and next thing you know, one of the great names of Ireland will just come in and sit because they're coming through town or they're on their way to the coast or something.
It's like saying hi to family.
There you go! The turf fire, which we probably should talk about before we go, or the peat fire. The whole country of Ireland is covered in this peat, bogs, just bogs everywhere. And as we were driving, you probably noticed out in the countryside, there's these big stacks of brown, large brown bricks all over. It looked like big brown haystacks all over the place coming out here. That is peat, the peat soil, like the peat moss you probably use for gardening in the U.S. You can go out on your lawn or commercial places have large bogs. Cut off these bricks of soppy, boggy soil and you stack it. And when it dries out, you can burn it. Now, Ireland has always been a very poor country. So this is what they used for fuel back in the old times. And now you can obviously still use it for fuel and has several other uses now. That is actual turf, peat, fuel from, I mean, he is so traditional, we even have a peat fuel in the fireplace tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. A good way to end the evening with that then. We'll get one more last sip and may those who love us, love us. May those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so we can know them by their limping.
Yes.
Yes.
And when your friends part for the evening from the pub, how do you wish them good night? And
Adia duish, Amelia Falcha. That's good day, 1,000 welcomes.
Nice. If Ireland is on your bucket list, Mick encourages you to visit during the centennial of the Easter Rebellion in 2016, a couple of years from now. By the way, he told me that for his custom pub tours, He also provides lyrics to songs often sung in pubs. MixIrishTours.com. Heading over to the tallest dunes in North America, Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve in Colorado, which was proclaimed a national monument in 1932 and officially redesignated as a national park in 2004. There is sand boarding and sand sledding. Yes! Hecarea Apache and Southern Ute tribes ancestors collected inner layers of bark from ponderosa pine trees for food and medicine. For the people from the Tiwa-speaking pueblos along the Rio Grande, it's a spiritual link. They remember a traditional site of great importance, located in the San Luis Valley near the dunes, the lake through which their people emerged into the present world. The first known writings of the Great Sand Dunes appear in Zebulon Pike's journals of 1807. Pike had been exploring as far west as the Arkansas and Red Rivers. Pike crossed the Sangre de Cristo Mountains just above the Great Sand Dunes. His journal reads, "After marching some miles, we discovered at the foot of the White Mountains, which were then descending, sandy hills. When we encamped, I ascended one of the largest hills of sand, and with my glass could discover a large river. The sand hills extended up and down the foot of the White Mountains about 15 miles, and appeared to be about 5 miles in width. Their appearance was exactly that of the sea in a storm, except as to color. Not the least sign of vegetation existing thereon." In 1853, the party of Captain John Gunnison of the U.S. Topographical Survey crossed the dune field on horseback. In his journal he wrote, "Turning the southern base of the sand hills, over the lowest of which we rode for a short distance, our horses half burying their hoofs only on the windward slopes, but sinking to their knees on the opposite, we for some distance followed the bed of the stream from the pass, now sunk in the sand, and then struck off across the sandy plain. The sand was so heavy that we were 6 hours and a half in making 10 miles. The expanded park also includes grasslands, shrublands, and wetlands. You can spot kangaroo rats, bull snakes, burrowing owls, and take in the beauty of millions of prairie sunflowers. Because those areas are seldom visited, it's a grand place for solitude and open spaces." If you're interested in a volunteer vacation in Colorado this summer, consider working on the Colorado Trail, 500 miles from Denver to Durango. Visit coloradotrail.org. If you're looking for a light mystery, I have the book for you. I just finished reading The Amazing Harvey by Don Passman, who, according to the jacket cover, is an attorney with a lifelong interest in magic. Yes, our book's hero is a struggling magician. There's a lot of engaging dialogue, so it moves along pretty quickly. I liked these descriptions. The hallway smelled like some guy had eaten a plate full of asparagus before relieving himself in a corner. I know, you get it, right? Then he wrote, he was working in an office of his attorney in lieu of fees, which he couldn't afford. He wrote, "Worked through the filing, which seems to grow faster than I was putting it away, like the insect monsters in some space movie." If the author is an attorney, he's probably speaking from personal experience. Again, that's The Amazing Harvey by Don Passman. Do something different. Spend a night or two in a treehouse bed and breakfast this summer.